Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're back after a brief pause. The Toy Department returns. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. Are we telling people the reason for this delay?
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's following me on the internet is already aware. My wife and I had a second child.
You are with child.
Well, she was with child, and now we are both with children. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's a lot.
Yeah, it seems like a whole nother level.
Luckily, my parents are in town to help. Her parents were here briefly, so we've had a lot of help, which helps. But I will say, just from a, you know, overall broad standpoint, that and I talked about this with a couple of other people yesterday who sort of confirmed this beyond just my experience, that two kids is more than twice as many as one kid. I don't know how to explain that,
yeah.
But it is a fact.
I've always heard that, and it makes some sense to me. Because, you know, Griffin is, he's not taking care of himself yet.
No, and way. Also we've learned, you know, and if we were better planners, we probably would have learned this about a year ago. Three would have been a better age than two for our son to be when our daughter was born, because he is fully ambulatory with wants and needs and a handful of words, but you can't trust him. So there's no, you can't like sleep on Griffin for a second to take care of Liana, or he will do violence upon himself, the dog, or others.
Yeah.
Not necessarily intentional violence, but like, violence of some kind is never more than 3 seconds away with a 2-year-old.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of parents go the 2 years rather than the 3.
It does seem like that, but like if I had received and taken advice, I do think 3 would have been a lot better, because there's just like there's a little bit of a trust factor there where you can give instructions and expect them to be followed more seriously.
All right.
Or so I've been told. I look forward to that.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll grow into following instructions more seriously over the next 6 months or so.
Fingers
crossed,
man.
How's he doing with the not being the entire center of attention anymore?
He's had a couple of meltdowns, but he kind of is a center of attention again, because, you know, there's a lot of people around paying attention to him. He's gotten a little upset about mommy and daddy not paying attention to him a couple of times. Like, there were a few nights in a row where the grandparents put him to bed, and he started to get upset about that. But generally, he's been pretty chill. And he's got like a minute to 2 minutes of like, look at the cute baby, let me give her a cute kiss, I'd like to hold her, before he's like, all right, let's go play with some stuff. Like, that was
right.
Cool, I get it, that's a little human, I'm gonna go throw this truck. Trucks and cats are my son's favorite things.
I think that it will it may be a little easier with the girl.
Well, I'll tell you, right. This it already is.
Yeah,
I mean, part of this could be like, you know, Griffin's birth was more complicated, and it was a more arduous process getting him home and whatnot. So I might be over dramatizing it in my head historically, but it already seems like she's much better behaved. A lot less screaming and yelling in the first couple weeks of her life. And she does seem easier to keep track of. Again, she's an infant. She can't move, so it's all relative, but yeah, I'm I already feel, and may, it also might be totally in my head, but I already feel like there's differences between the young man and the young woman.
Yeah. All right, should we talk about some stuff? It's been so long.
I barely remember what stuff. It's like to talk about pop culture. You know, it's the one thing about both of my kids. Neither of them are that into TV yet, so I've been waiting for this.
So yeah, let's start with Top Chef, which gave me a little bit of a fake out last week. Because the show started with, and then there were eight, right? Padma said, and then there were eight. And I got really excited because I'm like, oh, eight means Restaurant Wars.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, it was really just a setup for there to be nine.
Yep. So, but now there's eight again. So I do think Restaurant Wars is coming this week, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're getting Restaurant Wars this week. They showed it in the trailer.
Yeah.
So there's a Restaurant Wars innovation, which I honestly... I'm shocked it's taken them so long to do this. They're doing the open kitchen design so that everyone
right.
can see them
yeah.
in the kitchen, which I think is a fantastic television innovation. And, like, obviously, I mean, there's a lot of actual restaurants that have that format. So it's
yeah,
like,
I'm with you. Know. Like, what's surprising here is that it took this long.
Yeah.
This is a thing that is like a very common innovation in the world of dining, right?
Yeah.
And when is it more relevant than this? I don't know. I'm surprised it took this long, like you said, and I think it's the right thing to do. And it also, like, it's going to add a feature in a year where I'm guessing there's going to be lots of stuff they sort of can't do, right?
Yeah, I would agree. It's interesting because I do feel like the world, like, if you know people who work in the restaurant industry, like, they're a bunch of, like, swearing, sexual harassing, like, drug using, like, broke,
sure.
You know? I mean that with love.
Yeah.
I feel like having an open kitchen cuts down on a lot of that, so.
Yeah, no
I
doubt.
I imagine that'd be a similar effect on the show.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. So we've where should we go, man? It's been a couple of Top Chefs on this one.
Well, I think the most obvious and newsworthy thing that has happened since we last spoke is the elimination of Gabriel.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, last time we talked, because I think these things kind of go hand in hand. You know, we were sort of talking about whether Dawn was in the top tier or whether Gabriel was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that kind of got settled. I think Dawn is in the top tier, although the bottom of the top tier, I think, at this point.
Yeah, but her trajectory is positive. Right? Dawn.
And they really like the way that she seasons food, which I think is a good sign.
They love her flavors, right? Dawn is Dawn is finding herself in the Top Chef kitchen in a specific to what they're doing there. She's figuring it out, and you can tell she's feeling herself too because she let her hair out.
Yep.
Like the hair came out and she started her facial
any...
expression changed a little bit. Did you notice this? Like she just seems more at home all of a sudden.
Yep. Yep. She had a little glow when she was talking about Jamie coming back.
Yeah, she's like, I think like, she feels Jamie is a delight. But the first few weeks, Dawn was clearly like a great chef struggling to find her flow on this show. Right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and I think we talked about sort of the Lolo Jones-ness about her.
Yeah.
I think she got in her head, you know, thing and the comp and just the competition thing, you know, and you know, now she's settling down and just playing, and you know, I think that's helped her a lot. So, So to me, you know, the and Shota and Sarah, I think, are still 1-2 with Gabe, other Gabe being third. And then Dawn fourth, and then everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I would be. I would make those clear distinctions in the at the top. Like, I don't know that I have. I don't know that I have as clear of a ranking of the top five as you do. Who'd you put number one?
Well, that was the top four. That was the top four. I didn't have a clear number one. I think Shota and Sarah are kind of bad.
Like, you really think they're ahead of Gabe, though?
I don't know. I do think they're ahead of Gabe.
I guess Gabe is a little bit one note, but he's playing that note to perfection, isn't he? So
he sure is. I did think it was interesting that
Adna
kind of casually asked him how many moles he makes.
Yeah, but
didn't necessarily seem like it was shade. You know what I mean?
No,
but it could have been.
It would be shade if it was getting old, but it doesn't seem to be getting old.
Yeah, well, he still clearly has some in the pocket because I think he said like 12.
Right.
He's made a lot of moles. I don't think he's made 12 yet.
No, and look, man. You know, we can crack on a guy for making one style of food over and over and over again, but like, he's clearly an elite chef of that style of food, and he's playing.
Yeah, he's great.
He's playing his hits, you know. Like,
and the mole is not that different than Sarah and the yogurt, right?
I think it is, but I'll allow that because it was a good yogurt joke.
Yeah.
No, but that is funny, and like, look, Shota's incredible, but has he consistently been better than Gabe? I don't know, man. Like, to me, that top four, it's same thing with Dawn. Like, yeah, I guess of the four, Dawn was the slowest to, like, get up to speed. But to me, they're all driving in the fast lane on the highway right now, and, like, the order doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't think that those orders are set. That's just where I see it right now. I definitely see a separation between those four and everybody else. And that's the order I have them in. But, like, I don't think that is, like, just because I think Shota and Sarah are a little bit ahead right now doesn't mean that I think that one of them is definitely winning. I think the other two could easily beat them in a final.
So of the rest, outside of that top four, who is really intriguing to you? By the way,
that's a good
sad
question.
Moment. While you think about that, sad moment for everyone when Avishar was eliminated instead of Chris. I mean, come on.
I'm a little surprised the producers didn't step in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it really felt.
But
like
I
a
actually
toss-up.
Thought. I don't think it should have been either one of them. I feel like not cooking your tortilla all the way through is a go home kind of mistake.
Yeah,
over bland food.
Okay, but there's two things. First of all, like, that was a side part of the dish and the actual dish they loved, right? So that played in Maria's favor. But here's the other part of that. I do wonder if they watch to know why the tortilla wasn't cooked. You know
I don't mean? Think they. I don't think they watched to know why, but I believe the producers informed them, right? Because they often ask the question.
That's what I'm saying
about something,
like,
that happened in the kitchen.
Like, they probably know, right? They probably know that the reason her tortillas weren't cooked is because she got boxed out of the friggin' stovetop for 45 minutes.
Yeah, but I think that people go home for that sort of lack of assertiveness all the time. Like, think about how many people have been eliminated from teen challenges because they kind of, like, executed some other chef's vision and didn't do it right and kind of weren't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so
no, you're right. But I don't know
that they're supposed to consider the reason that the tortilla wasn't made properly. You know what
I mean? Well, no, I know. But I think if they are aware of that, I would guess that the combination of that and the fact that like the main part of her dish was something they really liked was enough to put her sort of out of elimination territory against two guys whose dishes they really didn't like. And I just think there have been so many dishes.
That's the way that they went.
Yeah, but there have been so many Chris dishes over the like. There, I wish there was more consideration of the fact that like these guys are both they both screwed up this week. It's a bit of a toss up. One of them has been at the top most of the season and is like a good on television. The other has been at the bottom most of the season and is boring as sin on television. Like,
well, but Chris has won more than one challenge. And like more than one quickfire, if I'm not mistaken, or at least one quickfire, right? Because he had immunity one time, one of the times when he cooked poorly had immunity.
I don't know. I don't dig on.
Yeah,
Chris.
Like
maybe
I
it's
don't.
Just me.
Yeah, I think that's maybe part of it. I am surprised that they didn't take the TV factor into consideration. Like I think producers were legitimately happy to have Jamie back from Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say
television, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what they lose in Avishar they replace with Jamie, so they're probably feeling okay about that. I will say this, as great as Gabriel was as a chef, and I think he was great as a chef, I have never seen the entire cast of Top Chef so excited about someone being eliminated.
Yeah, as Bob said.
Like he,
oh, wait,
he,
he's talking about Gabriel being eliminated.
Dude, he really must have been even more awful to be around than it seemed. Because, like, there have been some really unpleasant chefs that people are still like, ah, you know, they were good. It's a bummer they got eliminated. Like, that dude must be so unpleasant to work with. Because to a man, yeah, people were oh, God, I'm so sick of this guy.
Yeah, look, I think it's inarguable he rubbed people the wrong way. But I also think there was, like Maria's reaction I thought was really telling, right? Where she was like, you know, you're a giant asshole, but I was also crying that he was leaving. She's like, you're a giant asshole, but I love you. You know what I mean? So, I do think that this cast, and there was somebody referenced it in this episode, has bonded a lot. So, because I looked it up, just to get back to Chris won two quick fires. He did not win any elimination challenges, but he finished, in the top three once and in the bottom three four times. Avishar has one elimination challenge win, but he finished in the bottom three times and in the top once outside of that win. So their records are roughly similar.
I didn't realize Avishar had finished in the bottom that frequently. He seems like a better chef to me.
Yeah, man, he's really – Avishar that was his elimination. Avishar had 1 week where he was in the middle.
Okay.
The bottom or the tops.
Yeah.
I think that was very indicative of his season. He swung for the fences a fair amount of times and struck out a lot. You know what I mean? He was a three true outcomes hitter.
Three true outcomes Top Chef.
If you're into this stuff, and you know, we'd always love to talk about other podcasts, but the Packed Your Nice podcast did an interview with Brian Malarkey, did a whole episode with Brian Malarkey.
Oh boy.
A couple of weeks ago. Actually, I highly recommend it because, you know, he's entertaining just to hear talk.
Okay.
But it was mostly he's a fan of their pod, and he wanted to come on the show to handicap this season.
Really?
And his tier is a little from our tiers, and he had a lot of really interesting gameplay sight and correctly called that Gabriel would be going home next week, which I thought was really, really interesting. So
that's impressive.
So yeah, it's definitely worth it's definitely worth checking. It doesn't have a handle on a lot of the subtleties of the game from a very inside point of view. So
okay,
definitely I would check it out. He also gets into exactly how rich he may or may not be, which I think is also an interesting topic.
That sounds depressing to me. I don't know that I want to learn how rich Brian Malarkey is.
Well, not as rich as people made it out to be last season, if that helps.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if he took a big hit. Did he talk about taking a big hit?
He did talk about, yeah, taking a big hit. But I think he's also... It sounds like he's pretty well positioned to be fine when all
That's
this
good.
Is done. So, I think you would like that one. It's a, you know, it's kind of a separate episode from their usual just recaps or whatever.
Intriguing.
So, anyway, so Restaurant Wars. I have a feeling, right? I have a feeling, you know, Restaurant Wars can be one of these sort of equalizers in the game where somebody good oftentimes winds up going home. You know
just
what I mean?
Because of the team aspect, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the team aspect, and you're merging people's visions, and then the front of the house thing
right.
is a total wild card.
There's always the front of the house disaster, going home yes. for nothing to do with what you're there for.
Yeah, there's some real strategy to the whole thing. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, I don't. Think
oh, you know what? You know what? This is 20 minutes ago. The answer to who outside of the top four I think is the person you should watch out for, it's Byron.
Yeah.
To me.
Okay.
I think it's Byron.
Okay, that's not a bad answer. Is it crazy that I think it's Jamie?
Yeah. No, I don't think Jamie's crazy either. I don't, you know, her results have actually been pretty fine. She's only been on the bottom once.
Yeah.
Or twice, I guess, right? Because she got eliminated.
Sure.
She's been on the bottom twice. But I don't feel like she is consistent enough.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like she suffered early on from, like, nerves and her frenetic energy not really locking in. But I feel like going through the elimination in Last Chance Kitchen is going to have a calming effect on Jamie. And I like her as a dark horse coming back in.
Yeah. It's interesting now that I'm looking at these. There are three contestants who have not been on the bottom at all yet. Don, Gabe, and Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Avishaw had one bad one.
Shota had the – was it the drive-in?
I think it was – I thought it was the outside one, the Native American. There was one where it just didn't quite work for him.
Yeah, might have been. By the way, that drive-in, like, I still can't get over that Chris made ribs. when the first thing Parma said was, don't make it messy. Like, I can't think of a messier food.
There are times when people don't think things through enough, and so they do something that doesn't quite fit the scenario of the challenge, right? But this was a situation where you didn't have to think. They told you what to do, and he did exactly what they told you not to do right away. It was pretty incredible.
I can't believe nobody said it to him. Like you're making the messiest food for a car eating challenge. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
But also, that was, I think, like the Fonzie jumping a shark moment for Padma's bad puns. Like,
yeah,
she sure went
was.
Too far. Sure. She took it too far.
I did like the little skits that they set up for it.
They were funny, but also
they're very like you don't know Jack. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes. It was like stab me in the eye funny, you know?
Yep. I think we're good. Anything else you want to cover on Top Chef? Did we miss anything?
Nah, I think we got it.
Yeah. I think the back half of the season, and apparently we're right exactly at the midway point. Should be pretty interesting, and I think we're starting to get down to the most serious of chefs, and they all seem to have bonded at this point, so it's going to be a fun run in to the end. So, let's talk about Banshee.
Okay, so you want to go to Banshee first? Okay, all right, let's do it.
Was there something else you wanted to go to?
I don't know. I thought maybe we'd try to catch up a little on the old people challenge, but I guess we can just save that for Thursday when there's another. I mean, here's the thing: if we don't talk about
that for the end,
of the podcast today,
yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, then let's do that. So here's the thing, man. I want to say this. I want you to really hear me here, like. You were the one who was like, you should watch Banshee, right?
Yeah.
And I guess what I am to interpret from that suggestion coming from you is that, you know, based on our discussions over years of pop culture, you believe that if you just take some good-looking people and throw in some wild over-the-top violence and a few laughs, like, that is enough to entertain me forever. Like, that's all I need, is essentially what you're saying.
I don't know that I would say that.
No, because that's exactly right. I love this show. It's so much fun. That is literally all I need.
It is so much fun.
It's just.
By the way, you are not the only person in my life I've told to watch the show. Like I will tell anyone now. I'm like, have you seen this?
Obviously, I'm kidding a little, but there's not. This is not like nobody should be telling you this is important or deep or like relevant to society. But it's just good old. It's like a new violent heist comedy every week, and I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's so over the top. And like the fight scenes are insane. It made me realize, and this is kind of where I thought you were going with this when you asked me this question, because you know I haven't been a fan of things like John Wick, and it made me sort of realize that if John Wick was a TV show, I think I would really like it. If that, you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, there's enough character development,
right?
You know, like, I care about everybody in this,
right?
And enough interesting, funny stuff between the violence, the periods of insane violence, that it's like it hits all the right notes for me. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty to do. And look, it's not all great. Like, occasionally it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, the acting is good, but it's not great. You know
right.
what I mean? And then
no,
but it all works, you know?
Yeah, but you make a really good point about caring, right? Like, it doesn't take a ton in a reasonably well-acted and written and plotted TV show to make you care about the characters a little bit. And caring about the characters is all it really takes to lock into a show like this, right? Like, if you want them to either succeed or fail, depending on which character you're talking about, like, that draws you in enough to be entertained by all the stuff that's happening on screen. And, you know, if you are interested in any of humanity's baser instincts, whether it's violence or sex or, you know, drugs and alcohol, it's all here. It's all here. Crime, sex, drugs, all that's missing so far is rock and roll.
It's incest, for God's sakes.
I haven't gotten to the...
There's everything.
I haven't gotten to explicit incest, but there's been a lot of hinting so far. I'm you know, a season.
Yeah. Eventually that pays off.
Yeah.
Sorry. I forgot we're in different places.
But that's okay, because it doesn't matter. I, like, you can't spoil this for me. You know what I'm saying? It's an unspoilable show because at the end of the night, I'm going to turn on Banshee and someone's going to get shot and someone's going to get punched and there's going to be like some sex and some drama. And that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, you say shot, but it's like it's really more like riddled with bullets. Like no one just gets shot, really.
You're right.
Unless they take one right between the eyes. Sometimes that happens.
Really? And honestly, like most of the people get shot several times in with non-life-threatening injuries so that they can then drag their broken bodies around for several episodes. It's just it is what it is, you know, like we're not blowing minds here, but we are blowing stuff up and it's a good time.
It is. Yeah, it is 100% a good time. And it's so like it's so reliable too.
Which makes it a great binge.
Yeah. It's a great binge and it's just a great when you don't want to think about stuff kind of show. Because if you it's not a good show to think about. Like
no.
You know, Lucas would be the most famous sheriff in America. Like, he's doing a terrible job of hiding. Right?
Yeah, and some of that also...
Where, like, TV news comes to town, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when did this come out? I mean, I do think some of that is... Like, that would... You're right. No matter when this took place, he'd be the most famous sheriff in America. But, like, this did debut almost a decade ago. And... I feel like in 2013, it was more conceivable that you could, like, escape major attention in a small town. Now, like, you'd be on Twitter after the first fight, and you wouldn't be able to hide at all. We should also say...
He does, and he has a fight that goes viral, right?
Right, like, but nobody follows
up. Right, in, like, the third episode.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, he, the lead of this show, is Homelander from The Boys, and...
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that yet.
He's very good, man. It's like, there are some similarities with the way he's playing this. Like, you know, you can sort of see what he brings as a human that sort of is undeniable no matter who he's playing. At the same time, it's a very different part, and I find him pretty interesting.
Me too. I think he's a great lead, and I can kind of see why he's gone on to do other stuff. There's a lot of, you know, random good character actors that kind of show up.
Totally. The guy who plays at the beginning of season two, the guy who plays the, like, visiting FBI agent who's smoking everywhere.
That guy's great.
I'm looking for his name, but he's, like, he's one of these character actors that, everyone.
He sounds like a Croatian name.
I believe. His name is Zelko Ivanek.
Yeah.
He was in Three Billboards. He's been in a lot of what's his face's stuff, actually. Seven Psychopaths and Three Billboards. What's the writer's name? Now we've gone too far afield.
Oh, I don't know
who I'm talking about. Martin McDonagh. Anyway, all right, that guy's good.
I just realized Elijah Dushku shows up eventually. I'm excited for that.
Oh, that's exciting.
And David Harbour's in it at some point.
Love David Harbour. This is going to be great. So, yeah, Banshee, if you want a fun, violent binge, Banshee is on HBO Max for you. Can't recommend it strongly enough.
Yeah, and I am I am into season three right now, and there's four seasons of this, and I will be very sad when I run out. So
yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. So yeah, yay for Banshee. I'm really I expected that you'd like it. I can't say I'm surprised. It seems like you would be more likely to like the show than me, but I'm still very happy that you did.
Yeah, that was a good time. I appreciate you.
Yeah. So Challenge All Stars. I think we had, when last we spoke, even maybe we were talking about, okay, the Double Agents is ending, you know, they're doing the reunions, and we really think that All Stars is about to take it up a notch, and it did in a way. But it's weird to me. I also feel like they really are sort of like rushing the end of this season a little bit. Did you feel like that?
100%. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like they pulled a sort of ripcord because they realized they, like, too many of these people aren't capable?
Yeah, that was my impression. Was they're like, there's still too much fat here. We got a good show once we trim the fat. You know what I mean?
Right, but then Tyrion goes home and you're like, shit.
Yeah, and then on top of that, like, they're, you know, they trim some fat and then they're like, oh, now we're in the finals.
Right. And you know, to be fair, there's still it's hardly a lean piece of meat right now. So
yeah. And it seems like it's kind of a crowded final, doesn't it? Like, there's, it feels like there's a few extra people.
There's 10 or 12 people going into this final. Yeah.
And I figure they're gonna do at least one elimination before they get to the real final, but
They almost have to, or at least, you know, a mid-final elimination, as they often do. So that's not that weird. And look, I think, you know, if you're watching this, there has been a sort of, you know, it's to watch it has been often a sort of reckoning for the fact that there's probably only 5 or 7 serious competitors on the show. Right.
It's mostly been a reckoning for me for how old I am.
That's right. Well, and only one or two
reckoning I'm experiencing.
Yeah. Well, I think we're down to pretty good male competitors at this point. But I don't want to be sexist, but like, I was talking to Joey about this last when we watched this last episode. Okay. It really feels like, and I don't think this is as true of the like, you know, non-old people challenge right now. But it feels like, and I don't just mean because men are generally bigger and stronger than women, it feels like there are great male competitors, 5 or 6 of them, and only 1 or 2 great female competitors, just as women. Never, I'm not comparing them to the men. I'm comparing them to, like, what I'd like to see. Like,
I agree with you 100%. I don't think it's a question of, like, we don't, you know, like that we don't have, you know, that they're not big and strong. But when you compare them to the people on a normal challenge, like, they're just not as many people who've come to play. You know what I mean?
Not as many of the women on the old people challenge came to play.
And they just said, you know, they just said probably the best one home. So,
right.
So yeah, so now you're down to like if I'm looking at who are the serious women on this challenge, like, you're down to Kellyanne and Anissa,
maybe Ruthie,
and then I'd say probably Ruthie, yeah, and then there's a group of people, like there's a group like John A and Hisela. That are like,
they're not about
pretty
this life.
Good strategy players.
No, they're
you
not.
Know what I mean?
Stop it.
But yeah, but like, they're not, you know, like, they're decent social players, but they're not really, you know, like, just physically, they just don't. I would worry about either one of them in a final, you know? So,
no.
Or Kate, I guess Katie's in that group too, of like, good social player.
Is she even?
But you know. I think she's a good social player. I think she has real relationships in this game.
Yeah, she volunteered to leave. I mean, like,
that's yet another one, which is another reason why I think maybe they decided to shorten up the season a little bit. Of like, it just seems like people keep trying to send themselves home.
There's definitely like a subset of this OG challenge group that came here to see old friends and not to compete.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. I feel like you got to put that on Mark a little bit, don't you? I'm assuming that he had a big, big hand in putting this group together.
Yeah. So like, here's what's interesting about that. Mark was on the podcast with Anissa and Tori. And one of the things he said was that, like, his sort of dream world is to get a few of these old people challenges under the belt and then have a come to Jesus with the current challenge, you know, olds versus youngs sort of thing. or maybe somehow pairing them up. You know, you probably couldn't just do old versus young. But I guess what I would say to him is, if that is the plan, you're going to have to do better casting on this show for the next one.
Yeah.
Because there's 100%. Only, you know, there's five or six people here who you could put into a challenge with real challengers and not ruin it.
Well, and I just think, you know, and I just think that having a life, you know what I mean? Like, is a bit of a detriment to being on the challenge. You know what I mean?
Nah, honestly, I think being old is a bigger detriment.
Yeah. But the stuff that goes with that, you know what I mean? Like having children and a job that doesn't allow you to work out all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. But also, like, how many of these people have a job that doesn't allow them to work out all the time? I think really what it is they're old. Like, I don't think most of these people can't afford a 2-week break or regular workouts. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, John A. just had a baby like 7 months ago.
Well, that's crazy. Okay. I mean, that's a different thing. And as much crap as I've given John A., like, I don't even know that I've done it on the podcast that much. But when I watch with my wife, I'm constantly insulting John A. And when they were like, she had a baby last week, I was like, okay, I may have been a little harsh on John A.
I don't think it's an accident that, like, you know, people like Darrell and Letarian, who both like run personal fitness businesses, you know what I mean, are some of the better challengers. You know what I mean? Are some of the better adult challengers. You know,
I guess, man.
Old school challengers.
But again, like, show me the competitor whose work life is so dramatic that they don't have time to be ready for a challenge. I don't see a single person who fits that description. Not one.
Well, I would say yes, as an architect.
He's clearly in tremendous shape.
He's in good shape, though. It's true.
So, like, that's what I'm saying.
He's been the biggest surprise, right? That yes is legit.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. No.
That's been the biggest surprise to me. I did not think he would come back and be.
He's pretty legit, but whether he's legit or not, he's clearly not struggling to find time to keep his body right. You know what I'm saying? Like, all due respect, arguably.
Architecture is a serious time-consuming job, though.
I guess. Or it's not if you're, like, freelance and pretty good at it, right? You know, to me, arguably the person in the worst shape, Derek, is Anissa, whose job is doing challenges, okay? Like, these people can be in shape.
Well, no, it's not arguably. That is not arguable. Gisella's in the worst shape.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I think that's pretty inarguable.
Okay, but what's her job? Has she mentioned a job?
I have no idea. No idea. But she has kids. I think it's contributed to her, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't keep you from being in shape if that's a priority. Plenty of people with kids are in shape, especially people who seem to be divorced and probably only take care of their kids, you know, some of the time. Anyway, I don't need to break these people's lives down. The point is, I don't buy that it's life got in the way.
Kendall also
people.
Has kids, by the way.
Yeah. What?
Kendall also has kids.
That's what I'm saying. And she's in great shape.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I I don't know what shape Jeanne would be in if she hadn't just had the kid. You know, like, she looked, in retrospect, I've been looking at her like she looks like she hasn't worked out in 10 years, and really, she looks like she just had a baby. That's what she looks like. So in retrospect, I do feel a little bit bad about that. That said, she has no chance of winning this thing. None chance. There's a very limited subset. And
yeah,
you know,
there are a lot of people that have...
Let me ask you this.
It's a problem.
Here's the biggest question, I think, going into Thursday. What does this final look like in terms of the competitors? Do you expect teams? Do you expect partners? Do you expect – I mean, you can't have an individual final with 12 competitors, can you?
I think you could, but my – you know, if I was betting, I would bet on partners.
So, if it's partners
– although they've done a lot of team stuff, right? And they had that one, you know, the one thing that was a finals preview, quote unquote, was definitely a team challenge.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is, how would you handicap? Like, who would you put if you had first pick on either side? Right now, so there are 12 people left. All right. If you're let's say you're a guy, since you are after all a guy. Here are your choices for a final partner: Anissa, Jemmy, Hisella, John A, Kellyanne, Ruthie. I think Kellyanne's the obvious first pick, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then who?
Ruthie. Nah, I take that back. Anissa.
Yeah. I same thought process. I think, like, if you're picking them out of a lineup, you pick Ruthie, right? But if you've been watching this show for 20 years, I think you pick Anissa.
I think between her experience, and which I think has been very helpful on this show, and her desire to get a
yep.
W.
That's it.
I think she becomes a second choice.
We see it exactly the same way. It's about, look, the downside is if there's a long run, she's going to slow you down. Okay. Are you sure Ruthie won't? I don't actually know. She looks like she'd run better than Anissa, but we don't know that. And on these long runs, it sometimes comes down to desire as much as fitness. And
yeah, I don't really question Ruthie's desire, though, I have to say.
No, no, but you know Anissa has as much desire as anyone, and you also know, like, her head's going to be in the game better than Ruthie's at all times.
I think she's really smelling a W right now.
I do, too.
You know what I mean?
And I'm rooting for her, man. So. If anyone can be one of the winners, I would like it to be Anissa. The other guy, for me, I also would like Derek to win, but let's switch now. Speaking of Derek. The guys, I mean, okay, Big Easy's last, right? But here's the other five guys. Mark, Yes, Darrell, Derek, and Alton. That's basically a Mount Rushmore of old challengers. Like, CT would be there too, but he's still too good.
Yeah, Bananas, obviously.
Right.
He'd be in a Mount Rushmore, but yeah.
Well, Bananas doesn't go as far back as most of those guys, though. Like, Mark, Yes, Alton, Darrell, Derek is a who's who of the first 10 years of challenges.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, and that's what we were, I think we're hoping to see, right?
You know, absolutely. What I mean? So who would you pick first? If you're a lady and you get to pick from those five heavy hitters, I honestly think you can make an argument for every single one of them, but who would you pick?
I think, yeah, I mean, like I said, you could make an argument for all of them, so but I think if I gun to my head, I think I'm going Darrell.
Yeah, we really see this the same way. All right, so here's how I think about it. Derek is my favorite, but at the end of the day, he's the smallest. And that could hurt you at some point.
Yeah.
Alton probably would have been my number one, but I'm pretty freaked out about the way he fell apart on that distance challenge.
That's exactly the same. Alton was the first name I thought of, but watching him fall apart on that log, I was like, you know, I can't take him first. I just can't.
Yeah. And Darrell is just a really good all-around competitor who I trust in the way he processes the game, and I know isn't going to do anything crazy.
Yep. In a final, he's all business. I think he's won every final he's been in, right?
That's right. He is undefeated in finals. And look, as good as Yes has looked, I just don't have the same experience level and faith in him.
Oh, yeah. I like Yes as a guy, and I've been impressed with his competitiveness, but I'm not taking him over Darrell. It's not...
Right, and then Mark, you know, Mark and Darrell is interesting, and those would probably be my top two choices, just again, because Alton kind of fell out on that one challenge, but I don't know, Darrell just feels like a better, easier partner to me than Mark.
Yeah, I think it's Darrell. And also, right, Darrell is the, he's one of the few that can compete on, in modern day challenges.
Yep.
So that's in his favor. Although, look, I think if Alton wanted to come back to the regular challenge, I think he could.
Yeah, but again, that I don't know how to explain why he collapsed, and it freaks me out for picking him for the future.
That was really weird because he.
It was weird.
I played pickup hoops again yesterday.
Nice.
And I had a moment like the format is you stay on for two games no matter what, and then you're and then off, and. This man, I was so gassed at the end of the first round of two games. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
The second game, like
yeah, just running up.
I'm like trying to close out on a shooter and like falling on the ground because I'm like just like my ankles and my calves are hurting. And
I hear
like,
you.
That's what Alton was like in that thing. Like he couldn't stand up, gassed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, except he's supposed to be in shape for this, and you're not.
Well, I was working out all pandemic. I thought I was in shape, but I'm not. Certainly not in pickup basketball shape.
It's game shape. It's like they always talk about in the NBA. The only way to get in game shape is to play games, my guy.
Can't do it. Yep, you can't do it. And, all the shuffles and up-downs you want do not prepare you for sprinting.
Oh, man. All right. I think that's enough. Now that we've started talking about our own fitness regimens, it's time to go.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Let's get out of here.
All right. So we got more challenge on Thursday night, Friday morning, when episode one of the final of Challenge All-Stars is out. We'll break that down, have it out by Friday morning at the latest. And then for next Tuesday, we got a few things. Hit me.
Yeah, we've been light on homework for the last couple of weeks. That's changing. We stocked up on some stuff. So for this week, we are going to watch the show Girls 5 Eva, which is a Tina Fey. And I believe the guy that she works with, his name is Robert Carlock. Okay. But it's the, they've done a lot of shows together.
Yeah.
That's on Peacock. It's about a 90s girl pop group. Sort of reminiscent of the Spice Girls that reunites in the present day. And there's some decent buzz on that. So we'll check that out. We're also going to check out Hacks. Are we calling it the Gene Smartassance?
Yes.
I don't know.
I love the Gene Smartassance. I can't believe it's happening. I'm so excited about it.
It's like, honestly, like, Assance feels like, I don't know that it's really even like appropriate because I think the stuff that she's been doing lately is like better than the things that you would say she was doing when she got famous, right?
Yeah, sure.
So it's almost like she just hit her stride or something. You know what I mean?
I don't. Yeah, it's weird when someone at this age who's sort of never had the spotlight gets this much action, but she deserves it totally. Like, she's had all these great roles over the last few years, and I love watching her.
Yeah, and, it feels like such a step up from Designing Women, no offense to Designing Women, which is fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway.
I can't say I ever watched one single episode of Designing Women.
Really? Never one?
I don't think... One single one. No, I don't think so.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. But regardless.
I'm like aware of its existence. But I don't believe I've ever. No, I don't think ever.
She's definitely killing it on Mayor of Easttown. Which
well, I'm a little behind.
I really hope you catch up on because it's been really. And I really love this last episode in particular. So,
ooh, okay, all right, that's a tease. I intend to catch up. It's been a busy time as we've discussed.
Yeah, but between that and Watchmen and Legion, and Fargo.
Yeah,
and did you know she's the Depression Kitty on Big Mouth?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that, but I did know that. Yes.
Yeah. She's on a run with some really great TV. So we're going to watch that show. The HBO put up 2 episodes now. There are probably maybe 2 more by the time we get to it homework-wise. There's a Angelina Jolie film, Those Who Wish Me Dead. I think I'm actually going to watch this at a movie theater. Actually, Whoa. Not a movie theater. I think I'm going to watch this at a drive-in movie theater.
Nice.
But it is available on HBO Max as well. So
Yeah.
And then Master of None Season 3, long awaited, this time centering on Lena Waithe, which I think is probably a good idea.
For a variety of reasons, probably a good idea, yeah.
For a variety of reasons. That drops Sunday on Netflix. So there you go. That's your homework for this week.
It's a big week. It's a lot of lady-focused stuff. As the father of a daughter, this is now the sort of content that I consume. Things about women. So here we are.
Yeah, a lot of things about women this week. A lot of things about women.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be back, and we'll talk to you again later this week.
All right, challenge on Thursday, women on Tuesday. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed, the light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor, have yourself a tremendous evening.